Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Bob, I want to thank you for yesterday's show. As gruesome and horrifying, it was something that needed to be put out there.
The three clinic workers describing Gosnell number 2 in Texas.
Who we're just going to call the latest Gosnell or the next.
Yeah, every abortionist is Gosnell.
Well, and every metropolitan city in America
has
at least one Gosnell.
And every abortion mill is a house of horrors.
That's right.
So, Doug, speaking of Barack Obama.
Yeah, speaking of Barack Obama.
The scandals.
He's got a bunch of them.
Plaguing the White House.
Yes. We could tick them off here. We could even.
Yeah.
And we could invite commentary. I'll invite your commentary.
Yeah.
We're going to start with Benghazi. I think it's the number one scandal. I think it's the biggest.
Well, because people were killed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So we've got Benghazi. And the one question that I think the Obama administration is the most afraid of, where was the president that night?
Hmm.
That's the question I think they're most afraid of.
Yeah.
But there are other big scandals erupting all around.
So Benghazi, then what?
We've got the Associated Press.
And Fox News, the media, that whole thing.
The media hacking and tracking.
Yeah.
I've named it the hacking and tracking scandal.
There's a covering up of the discovery of Noah's Ark.
Absolutely. And then, of course, there's the IRS scandal.
Yes, which is
percolating. So, Bob, over the past couple of weeks, I've always, at night, I get together with my wife, and we discuss the news of the day, events, and things like that. And I've been offering her my myriad of conspiracy theories as to why these particular scandals are erupting now.
Yeah.
There are a lot of theories as to why all this is happening now.
Yeah.
And she has dismissed all of my conspiratorial theories, and she said,
my money's with Takako.
She said, honey, he's just had his hands on so many boiling pots, they're all starting to blow.
Right.
He's run out of arms and hands. He can't cover them up
anymore.
That's
exactly. She's exactly right. She's a great asset to your show, Doug.
She civilizes me, and she keeps me from, wandering off into the weeds.
When your wife could laugh at your jokes.
Yes.
During your recording of your show, you know you're doing something
right. For all you young guys out there who are looking for a woman, a life partner,
a wife,
as we'll call it here, the politically incorrect term, wife, keep in mind that being able to make a woman laugh goes about as far as just about anything else as to getting her to like you, if you can make her laugh.
Yeah.
A big belly laugh from the heart, too, if you can do it.
Speaking of laughing. So, Doug, the IRS, they've harassed us here at Bob Inyart Live, but why don't we talk about the IRS harassing the Tea Party? Because that's the big current scandal.
Yes. Well, I attended the Tea Party picket down at the IRS headquarters, downtown Denver. Big building, Bob.
Today.
Huge. That IRS building, it's just the building is intimidating. It's huge.
Mm.
And if all those offices have IRS agents in it, I'm scared.
Well, think of all the injustice they have to house.
That's true.
For this region.
A huge building. There was a great crowd of Tea Partiers protesting a lot of great signs against the IRS.
Yeah.
Many of them drawn by children. My children drew my sign. My sign said IRS equals bully.
Mm.
And my picture was taken by a reporter, a reporterette, or a photographette.
Maybe,
A photographette from the New York Times.
This might be one of your kids' first opportunities to get published.
Yeah, could be her first time in the New York Times at such a young age.
That'd be great.
Great crowd down there. We were petitioning, obviously. We're working diligently to try to put personhood on the ballot again in 2014, in the person of the Brady Amendment.
So you guys are getting signatures. I wanted to be there.
We were well received.
I had to be here at the studio.
No, we had it well covered.
Yeah, it was well covered.
Yes, well received.
So were people? My take is, Tea Party folks are strongly pro-life. Now, not the leaders necessarily, but the Tea Party rank and file were the best groups for getting signatures every time I've gone.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I would say 80% of the people there signed the petition, and a number of others just had already signed it. And since we're not in Chicago, I told them, you can only sign once here.
Right.
That's right. You can only sign once. So just a great – but I was approached by a gentleman in a sport coat who was handing out literature. I don't know if he was with the leadership, but he asked me kindly if I would shut up and leave because he said I was diluting the message. He actually used the term shut up and leave.
Wow.
At a free speech event.
Free speech event on public property where there's outrage from conservatives against the government gone.
Gone wild. Tyrannical government is what we're here to protest. And if ripping the heads off babies isn't tyranny, I'm not so sure how you make the case that the IRS harassing people is tyranny.
The problem with Tea Party leadership is they really think it's all about money. It's only money.
Yes.
And that is obviously a completely failed calling and mission in life.
It really is.
Money is a very vital component of not only a nation, but the moral fabric of a nation.
Of course.
Right. God said, thou shalt not steal. It's one of the Ten Commandments.
Well.
And so a criminal justice system has to be based on thou shalt not steal. Governmental principles are based on thou shalt not steal.
Yeah.
But when money is, that's it, you're all about money. The Tea Party is supposed to be about government injustice.
Right.
And out-of-control government.
Out-of-control government.
And I have seen it from leaders firsthand where they are angry if, for example, somebody won't support a pro-child-killing Tea Party candidate.
Right. Yeah, they get mad at
us. They think what matters is that it's part of the Tea Party.
He's going to lower taxes. He's for smaller government. But on these social issues, we don't want to get into that. This guy was very upset, and I warned him. I gave him a warning.
Yeah.
I said, sir, do not marginalize the Christians because you're going to need us on election day.
Mm.
And by the way, sir, don't marginalize Jesus Christ because you're going to need him on judgment day. I told him that.
Good.
He was fuming. He was irate. He was upset. I had to walk away from him. Because he got very upset at that.
Hmm.
But anyway, he is going to face judgment. I said, you know, we're all going to face judgment. We're all going to face God. And we're going to give an account, not just for the pickets that we attended, not just for the political organizations that we put together, but for every idle word. Mm-hmm. So think about that, young man.
Yeah.
And then I had to walk away because I didn't want to give the impression that there was any dissension in the troops. And I was getting signatures the whole time he was arguing with me. People are coming up. Oh, can I sign? It was really great. Hey, but before we get to the next scandal, I have reason 686.
686.
To keep your kids or get your kids out of the government schools.
Yes.
This is
686.
There's reason number 686. And we're not necessarily keeping track of these in a serial fashion.
You're not.
We do the best we can.
I've got it. Right.
Approximately
here.
686. This is from Greeley, Colorado.
Three.
The Billy Martinez Elementary School.
Right up the street here.
Yeah, right up in Greeley.
Yeah.
Well, a teacher there could lose her job, according to, where did I get this article? This
the
is from
Peak.
KDVR.
KDVR.
KDVR.com. An elementary school teacher in Greeley could lose her job after allegedly showing up drunk at school.
Allegedly. She was plastered.
She did a breathalyzer. Yeah. And she blew a .132. Now, that's not alleged.
No.
So could the drunkenness still be alleged if the .132
is not
alleged?
Wrote the story? Maybe it's the reporter is an alleged journalist. An alleged journalist reports.
Exactly.
Because the teacher was drunk.
The teacher was drunk at school.
Right.
Yeah. That's. Oh, by the way, the superintendent there is recommending that the teacher be fired based on three things: insubordination, immorality, and neglect of duty.
Wow. Immorality? They still use that word?
I didn't think that term was even allowed.
I thought it was stricken.
I know. Anyway, there you go. Reason 686, as if you needed yet another reason.
So teacher shows up
drunk at
school drunk.
Yeah.
And it surprises no one.
No, nobody's really shocked at that.
No.
Yeah, not at all. All right.
All right, so Doug, the IRS, we have... You know, Bob and Your Live, we've been on the air for 22 years, and the first 10 years or so, we were on, you know, we were part of other networks' programming.
Christian broadcasting.
Yeah, for years on TV.
Yeah.
From Honolulu to Orlando, Florida, 80 cities.
Right.
And so then we ended up in Denver, as our own entity, Bob and Yurt Live.
Right.
You recall, you were working in the office.
I was.
We applied to the IRS for 501c3.
Oh, do I remember that.
Designation, because we had been on nonprofit networks for years.
Many years. Well established as a Christian ministry.
Right. And so we, you know, they took our $495 or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And we filled out the 20-page application.
I remember every morning, Bob would come in. He would lock himself in his office. Nobody could bother him. For days and days and days, this went on. And we all wondered, what is Bob doing? He was in there filling out this.
This IRS bureaucratic disaster.
Right. And then didn't they, if I remember correctly, I had to send them a big box.
Over and over and over, they just simply, they harassed us.
They asked
you fill it out, they more information. You give them more information, more information.
Yeah.
Then they say, it's urgent, you got to get back to us within 3 weeks.
Right.
Right. That big box.
I sent them a big box of everything you had ever written or recorded.
You FedExed it, if I remember.
Overnight.
It was filled with our Bible studies.
Right.
They wanted to see our Bible studies.
Yes. And we FedExed that at our expense.
Our written. Back then, it was
audio
in
cassettes.
March of 1998.
Audio cassettes, written material.
Audio cassettes, VHS tapes, written material, Bible study, outlines, curriculum.
We sent them everything.
What in the world is the IRS doing asking for that kind of information?
I can assure you they were not organizing a Bible study. At least that's my suspicion. Maybe it was one of those IRS officials flying under the radar. He was trying to organize a Bible study at work, and that was his way.
That was his only way of getting free material.
Well, if that happened, let it slide.
Then that's
but
right.
Anything else, it's just pure harassment.
Yeah, harassment.
So,
and so
you've always been a man ahead of your time, Bob. You were harassed by the IRS.
That was before 2011, right? So they're saying this was, you know, an Obama thing. But back then, the Clintons were in charge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it was obvious to us that the IRS had made a political determination that they were against us.
Yeah.
And so no matter what happened, they were simply going to use their bureaucracy to outlast our staff.
Yes, they were.
Because we have to pay ourselves.
Right, and we have to pay the FedEx bills and everything else.
And the IRS. We got to pay our salaries and their salaries.
Right, that's right.
So eventually, they outlasted us.
Yep.
They figured they could. They were right. They did. They won.
They won. We gave up on the 501c3.
Yeah,
and they've been paying for it ever since.
They have.
That's right.
Because we go on the air and say, don't vote for Mitt Romney. He's a child killer.
Right. No, I was alluding to the fact that you and your organization indelibly stained the Clinton legacy by showing up at the opening of his memorial library.
The Clinton
forever stained
library opening.
Yeah. That was classic.
An amazing moment in history.
Little did Bill know.
He lost
the IRS
it.
Was.
He lost it on national TV.
Little did he
if know. You recall.
Yeah, well, he was made to pay the price.
The state historian of Arkansas.
That's right.
Included in the official account of the opening that Bill Clinton may have raped one of his campaign workers, Juanita Broderick.
That's right.
And so that's in the official account.
Yeah, so, he ended up paying one way or another.
Yeah, but so, Doug, not only that, back in 2011 when this latest phase, that was the Clinton phase of IRS harassment of conservatives and or conservative Christians.
Yeah.
Now, in the 2011 phase, the current phase, two of our church elders, Denver Bible Church.
Yeah.
We don't have 70 elders.
It's not a big church.
That'd be a Moses thing. We're a smaller church. Two of our elders were harassed by the IRS. One audited.
Yeah.
And
that's right. We did have an audit. Yeah.
And that's because he takes in $800,000, $900,000 a year?
No, I believe he was barely scraping by homeschooling six or five
six kids.
Yeah.
On a single income.
Yeah. And working out of his basement. He wasn't exactly taking over the world.
He gets audited by the IRS.
Audited.
And our other elder, he gets harassed. He helped set up the online donations for Colorado Right to Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so he's harassed over it.
Mm.
So anyway, there's, you know, we're a small fry compared to, compared to who. But compared to somebody, we're small.
I guess compared
to
the Tea Party.
Not in God's eyes.
No, not in God's eyes. We're right up there.
Yeah. Right.
But compared to the Tea Party, we're relatively small.
Yeah.
But all this is coming out now. You know, it really is just confirming what Americans have suspected for a long time. And this is another thing my wife pointed out when I was laying the conspiracies on her.
Yeah.
Trying them out on her. She was rejecting them one after
the other. And she
said
it just all happened.
No, she
said.
And she's
right.
She said, don't you think that people who work for the government for their whole career tend to be liberals?
Of course they do.
I thought, you know what? There doesn't need to be much of a conspiracy because they're all liberals.
Right. Bush's people are liberals.
Yes.
And so, and then you got Clinton's people and Obama's people.
Yeah. So, you're talking a generation of liberal packing of the bureaucracy.
The Democrats, they've never had the trifecta of the Congress and the courts and the executive branch. Have they ever? Had all in modern history?
No, they've never had all three branches.
The Republicans have had all three.
They've had all three.
And things got worse.
Well, they didn't get better.
Remember that time when things got so much better there back in the, you remember that?
The class in the of 90, 90s? The class of 94?
Remember that? Things got so much better.
I remember.
Morally in the country.
Well, I don't remember that, but I remember the revolution of 94.
It was a disaster.
It didn't work out.
And Bush's great accomplishment, he said, was the Americans with Disabilities Act.
That was Bush
That was his
senior.
Signature accomplishment.
Right. And then Bush Jr., he did he expanded Medicare with prescription drugs. He sent $1 billion for phony research on AIDS in Africa.
$1 trillion over a short amount of time. For a brand new welfare entitlement program.
Which one?
The
was
prescription
that? Oh,
drugs.
Oh, prescription drugs. Oh, yeah. That's
I'd
right.
I call it
George
welfare.
W. Bush. Well, that's
same
pretty
bucket.
Accurate. Yeah, another welfare program. Yeah. And then he did the bailout right at the end.
And they promoted homosexuals dramatically.
Goes without saying.
Father and son.
George Sr. and W.
And they promoted abortion and they gave Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars more than the Democrats had given them.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and they gave millions upon millions of dollars to terrorists like Yasser Arafat.
That's right. You know, that reminds me of what a Tea Partier said to me today down at the big protest.
Yeah.
He said, I would sign that, but I really believe you need to be doing that through the legislature. And I said, you're going to wait for the legislature? He said, well, we need to wait for the legislature to become more conservative.
What a cop-out, right?
I said, that's like waiting for the Supreme Court. We've been waiting for 40 years.
Right.
I said, come on, let's put it on the ballot so the people can vote yes or no.
His ultimate principle is not do not kill the innocent. God said do not murder. His ultimate principle is you should wait for the legislature.
You should use the
How's that for a foundational, motivational worldview?
That'll bring them to their feet.
Sounds like Tom Tancredo all over again. Term limits and rearrange the deck chairs.
Oh,
hey,
Titanic. Speaking of Colorado politicians, Bob, we have an opportunity has been pointed out by our producer. Yeah. An opportunity for Governor Hickenlooper. He's got an opportunity coming up to do right for the people of Colorado on two fronts. Because, as you know, the Chuck E. Cheese killer, do you remember that? I mean, you have to go way back.
We reported on it as it was happening.
Nathan Dunlap murdered four people
in
1993.
Yeah.
And now a court has authorized his execution sometime this summer.
Mm. So that was 20 years ago. We went on the air in 1991.
Yeah.
And Doug, at the time we said, you know, people, they get the death penalty. They stay on death row for decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke.
Yeah, and many people associated with this crime
have
moved, have died.
Right.
Literally.
People forget the story.
People forget the horror of this story. Yeah. But Governor Hickenlooper has been struggling with whether or not he should commute the sentence, the death sentence
of this
for Nathan
murderer.
Dunlap.
Right.
Well, apparently, his chief of staff, one Roxanne White, the rumor is that she has threatened to resign if Hickenlooper does not commute Dunlap's death sentence.
That sounds like a good deal.
So, yes, Hick, come on. Now you can execute the murderer and you can get rid of your chief of staff. It's like killing two birds with one stone.
Oh.
And in one case, literally killing.
Oh, wow.
You know,
so
executing anyway, judiciously.
Yeah.
Extrajudiciously, actually.
Yeah. So that would be collateral, not damage.
It would be a collateral benefit. That his chief of staff would resign and maybe go to and start destroying another state.
So that's all the more reason to bring about justice
for
the victims.
I was at, on assignment from Bob Enyart Live, I was at Colorado's last execution, which was in 1998 or 1999. Mm-hmm. I was there interviewing people, getting tape for the show, and then unfortunately you went to jail. I forget why we never were able to.
I'm not sure
we ever used any of that on the air.
I went to jail for some reason.
For some reason, you were unavailable.
I had nothing better to do.
Yeah.
I was tied up.
I was at the last execution, and if this execution goes forward, which I kind of doubt Hickenlooper has the nerve to go forward with it, but if it does, I plan to be there again on assignment, interviewing people and getting people's thoughts on the execution of this murderer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Now, Doug, speaking of murderers, of course, Gosnell in Philadelphia, we have an abortionist convicted of murder.
Praise the Lord.
First abortionist convicted of murder in modern times.
Yes, since Roe v. Wade, I do believe.
So good news. Now, we have a commercial that is beginning to air on a number of conservative radio stations in Colorado to let people know about the Brady Amendment. So
awesome.
I thought we should hear that and see if we could figure out if it's going to be effective.
Okay, well, let's roll it.
An abortionist has been convicted of murder. Kermit Gosnell's House of Horrors closed. But Colorado kills many kids from conception through late term. Like Brady Serovic, killed by a drunk driver, these kids are persons. Yet listen to Princeton University's Peter Singer.
No, I don't think it's problematic to say the four-month-old baby is not actually a person. I think that's simply true.
This is widespread and even taints the White House. It's up to us to stop this taking of innocent life. The University of Colorado's Michael Tooley advocates both abortion and infanticide. Discover magazine defends the evolution of infanticide. The New York Times published a call to kill newborns. So did the Journal of Medical Ethics. It's up to us to stop the horror. Sign the Pro-Life Brady Amendment. It's urgent. Call any Colorado personhood group to get a petition. Or just go to avoiceforbrady.com. That's avoiceforbrady.com.
You know, I wonder how many pro-choice Americans ever thought in their mind that by being pro-choice, they would one day usher in the era of legalized infanticide. Mm. I wonder if they ever thought that people would one day publicly call for the legalization of infanticide. Mm-hmm. I think many of them never really made that connection.
If I recall, the Surgeon General during Ronald Reagan's administration, C. Everett Koop, said that if we permit the killing of babies in the womb, we're going to see an increase of the killing of babies out of the womb and child abuse and infanticide, because these moms know that it's a baby.
Oh, they know.
And certainly the abortionist and their clinic workers, they see it's a baby.
Yeah.
And we find out that when the babies come out and the abortion didn't succeed in killing them, they're out of the womb and alive, they just kill the baby anyway.
Right.
And the staff goes along with it. How many staff members have quit because they got sick to their stomach and they just never told anybody?
I imagine there's been a few, more than a few, I'll bet.
Yeah. In Texas, these women, we aired their testimony yesterday. They said, you know, it was going on for many years.
Mm.
These abortionists that kill kids for decades, including the kids that have survived the initial assault.
Well, Bob, the commercial, good job. I think good job, because it really ties together events that have been going on for the better part of the decade in one 60-second package, that a lot of things that many people are completely unaware of, that these things have been said publicly, advocated publicly for infanticide.
The University of Colorado's professor Michael Tooley has written a book. First, he did an article back in the 70s, Abortion and Infanticide. Then he turned it in an article. I mean, a peer-reviewed article.
Yeah.
Then he turned it into a book. And he's been advocating that it should be legal to kill babies before they're born and after they're born. And this whole movement, they say, for any reason whatsoever. The Journal of Medical Ethics said, for any reason.
Mm.
The New York Times ran a three-page article by Steven Pinker from MIT.
Wow.
You know, up the coast from Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that it should be legal to kill babies after they're born. And so this is not the it's part of the mother's body argument.
No, that argument, yeah. That's...
And we pointed out that that's never the real truth of the matter.
No, the real truth of the matter is they want to kill babies.
Right.
And they want to do it because they want what they want.
Yeah, they're at war with God. They're in rebellion against God.
Yeah.
There's nothing more innocent than a child, than a baby.
Yeah.
And so by killing a baby, that baby is made in God's image. Jesus Christ isn't on earth now for them to crucify, but they can kill this baby. Mm. And by killing a baby, it's like them saying, there's no God. And if there is a God, he better approve of what I want to do or else for him.
Yeah.
It is utter rebellion against God. So even if the baby survives that first attack and is delivered alive, they still want to kill the baby because they think they have a right to a dead baby.
That's right.
It's not to be not pregnant. It's to have a dead baby. And that's what all these people we're talking about, New York Times and University of Colorado in Boulder and Princeton University and MIT, they say that women have the right to a dead body, to a dead baby.
Shocking that we would get to this point in such a short period of time. Really, it hasn't been that long since the...
And who's going to stop it? Not even the Tea Party.
Well,
they're not going to risk anything to protect a single baby.
They would rather not talk about that issue
because
that dilutes the message.
Right. But, you know, Glenn Beck, I heard him yesterday, and he said, you know, I used to be messed up, and 20 years ago I got my life straightened out.
Yeah.
And he said, and I became conservative, so of course I was pro-life, but I never really stood on being pro-life. I was just like pro-life.
Yeah.
He said, but now with Gosnell, now we realize that this whole abortion thing is so evil.
He said that?
He said that, that was good.
It's encouraging.
But what he should realize is that the Mormon Church has 5 exceptions for when you could kill the baby.
Oh, yeah. Glenn didn't go into those on his show.
He
probably immediately changed the subject to talk about
He talked
about
abortion for 20 minutes.
Really?
And that it was good.
Well, that's the most he's ever talked about it, and not that I heard it, but I'm going to take your
word. But you know what? They feel like this is an opportunity to make the Democrats look bad. That's what I think is behind most of the talking heads.
Yeah.
You know, he was 100% for Mitt Romney, as we predicted he would be.
I remember
he'd
by
be
the
a
end.
Romney bot.
By the end, he
you
was
know,
on the
during
bandwagon.
The primary, he would criticize, but then he's a Romney bot.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter how many children Mitt Romney supported killing, he was going to get the support of the full-on support of the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs and the Glenn Becks.
He could count on that.
And so on.
It's a sad state of affairs. I had a conversation with a 20-something who said he just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I stopped trying to get his signature, and I witnessed to him about the truth of Jesus Christ and the right to life.
Praise God.
It was awesome.
Because we're made in God's image and likeness. That's why it's wrong to kill a baby.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Doug, thank you. Our website, KGOV.com. And we only stay on the air with your support, so help us out.